delay the inevitable. When we were singing Sweet Hour of Prayer just a minute ago, I should say that, man, I struggled to put this together, looking at this source, looking at that source. I finally decided on a source. But if I had been a smart guy, I would have taken that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and I would have said, hey, that's going to be my outline for this, for this lesson. I don't know. How shall we start a lesson on prayer? What do you think, Mason? Hey, with prayer. That's a good idea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just guide me through this lesson. Pray, Father, that you help us to learn a little bit from your word here, be able to apply some of this to our life. We also, Father, don't want to forget that there's folks in our congregation that need your special attention. And Connie is the one I'm thinking of most right now. I know she's going through a really hard time, and we simply ask that you be with her, be with all of us, so that we can find our own ways to bless her. You can bless her through us. Be with the doctors that are managing her treatment. We also learned about Mike Bishop this morning. We pray that you be with the doctors, and we pray that you be with his family. Come before you right now to just ask that you be with me as I deliver this message, and with all of us that we can learn something from this word, from your word. Forgive us of our sin, Father, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I practiced this up here this morning. Weirdly, I'm much more nervous about being up here right now than I was just a couple hours ago. You might find me just reading this like this here in a minute. Could you talk to the leader of our country? I should say our country. Anytime, would you like to? Could you talk to the leader of your country as much as you might like to? I can totally imagine us wanting to say, hey, I'd like to talk to the president right now. I'd like to give him some of my opinions, and I understand that. I would suspect that you would have trouble finding even one opportunity to be able to talk to such a powerful person as the leader of our country, and yet, there is someone far more powerful than the leader of any country that we can talk to, and that is God, and you can talk to God anytime you want. This is the absolutely amazing fact about God. Now, the fact is the very creator of the universe. He is the very creator of the universe, according to Genesis 1, verse 1. He's the most powerful being in the universe. And if you look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 16, it says, for by him, speaking of Jesus, all things were created. Then we go to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, and we find out that the head of Christ is God. No one has more authority than God himself, and yet he wants to hear your prayers, our prayers. One of the lessons that King Nebuchadnezzar had to learn, as recorded for us in Daniel chapter 4, is that God is more powerful than any world leader. Even the most powerful world leaders pale in comparison to the authority and the power of the Almighty God, Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. And yet God has promised to hear the prayers of the faithful. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. I think that was what was up there earlier. It's a beautiful promise, a sweet promise, that the Almighty Creator of the universe promises to hear the prayers of the faithful. He wants to hear what you have to say. In fact, he even encourages us to talk to him frequently. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 talks about our prayers and the joy we have as Christians. God says, God had written, pray without ceasing, pray frequently. Prayer is so very important. Sometimes I believe we forget what we miss out on when we are weak in our prayer lives. We forget about the strength and the courage and the power that we can receive through prayer. We forget about the power that's in prayer because of what God is and because of what He can do. We forget about the forgiveness and the comfort and the peace we can have when we have that mature prayer life. Maybe the Lord's apostles were beginning to understand a little bit about the importance and the power of prayer when they asked Jesus Christ to teach them to pray in Luke 11, verse 1. Well, that's going to be the theme of this lesson this morning is Lord, teach us to pray. And the only way for us to understand what God wants us to do in prayer is to go to the scripture and see what God has said concerning prayer. Excuse me. What is the purpose of prayer? I could ask everyone in here and everyone would be willing to give me a different answer, I'm certain. I'm going to hit on two. In my mind, a couple of the most important. When I pray, I want to touch the heart of a loving Father. According to Isaiah 40, verse 10, and He, through Christ, has chosen me and you. There we go. He is our spiritual Father, our Heavenly Father, and so we're speaking to Him. While we must be careful to show a great deal of reverence and respect, He does love us, and as a loving Father, He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear what we have to say, and we can completely trust in Him. Makes me think a little bit about Jake and Caitlin's Addie. She'll always run between Jake's legs when I get kind of spooky with her. But she finds comfort from crazy Uncle Will while holding on to Jake's leg. We can have the same sense with our Heavenly Father, trusting Him, trust Him, and know we are praying to the most powerful being in existence and yet loves and cares for us tremendously. We're also, in prayer, speaking to the Father who is concerned about authority, His authority, and our respect for it, and of course, discipline. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11, speaks concerning the fact that God chastens those whom He loves. God disciplines those whom He loves, and sometimes when we go to God in prayer, we remember that the answer to our prayer may not be exactly what we want. Sometimes God knows better than we. Well, God always knows better than we. But sometimes He knows that we need a few things first. God is a loving Father, and as a loving Father, He disciplines us. Maybe you remember the prayer of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. He had prayed 3 times for this thorn in the flesh to be removed from him. Whatever it was very unpleasant. He didn't take it at all. He didn't like it at all, excuse me. He wanted it taken away, but God's answer to him was no. God would not take that thorn of the flesh away from him, and it was then that the Apostle Paul realized that in his life it was actually helping him spiritually. It was helping to keep him humble, and he needed that. So when we go to God in prayer, we understand that we're talking to a loving Father who does, in fact, care for us, yet He's also a Father of authority and discipline, and sometimes that affects the way He answers our prayers. But never forget that our Father is a Father of care and compassion. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 13, Psalm 73 also, verses 23 through 28, gives us a picture of the Heavenly Father holding the hand of His children. So when we go to God in prayer, we understand we are speaking to someone who cares deeply. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28, also indicates to us the great care God has for us. The fact is, All things in time will work together for the good of those who love God. He loves us. When you go to God in prayer, know that He wants to hear from you and that He loves you. Another very important purpose of prayer is to give thanks. God blesses us in so many ways. In Christ, He has blessed us according to Ephesians 1, verse 3. We have the spiritual blessing of salvation, heaven, the Word, fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. And this list could just be almost endless. Also, Romans 8, verse 1. Here we find that we are not condemned by God because we are now in Christ. Probably the main reason that we should bow our knee to God in prayer. Also, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 instructs us not to be anxious, but pray with thanksgiving and make our requests known to God. Then reading on, we find the blessing there is the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. To simply have peace in our life. You don't have to understand it. He just gives it to you. It's a part. There is a promise in prayer also. And that's God's promise to hear the righteous. It still amazes me every time I think about the fact that the sovereign ruler of this universe wants to hear what I have to say. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 is one of those places where the Bible promises us that God wants to hear the prayers of the righteous. He's looking to hear our prayers. He wants our prayers. And when we pray to Him, He is listening to us. Like I said, the sovereign ruler of the universe, the great Creator, the Almighty, and holy and perfect Father is listening to you when you pray. What a promise and what a privilege. Acts chapter 10 and verse 4 is a very interesting account of a Gentile by the name of Cornelius was considered by God to be devout. The Bible talks about him in that way, and the Bible speaks in verse 4 of Acts 10 of the fact that this man's prayers had been held up as a memorial before God. This man's prayers were considered of value to God. That's incredible to think about. Just amazing to know the prayers of the devout are that important to God. Do you know that God has promised to hear the prayers of those not only who are righteous, but of those who are praying in a fervent manner? There has to be a great deal of desire in your prayer that comes from the heart, a great deal of desire that God hear your prayer and that God answer your prayer. When you need to pray, you need to pray with strength and power and faith and confidence. Not in yourself, but in God. You need to pray from the heart. Pray those things that are truly important to you. From James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18, we know that the effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much, from the King James. Much good will be done in those prayers. So God is promising not only to hear your prayers, but He's promising to act upon your prayers as well. Romans 12, verses 9 through 12, He promises to hear those who trust Him. Also, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. In that particular context, James is talking about the subject of suffering, and there are going to be times when we suffer that we may not understand why we're suffering, may not even understand how it is that we're going to be able to get through it, our suffering. How can we recover? How can we see the way to do things that we need to do as we endure this pain and agony? Well, what you need to do is pray to God and trust that God will help you. You need to recognize also that there are some benefits that come with suffering. But when you pray to God, you may want to pray for wisdom. That's what he says there in the context. But he also tells us that when we pray for that wisdom, we need to pray in faith, without doubt, and without doubt. No doubts whatsoever. Have that confidence in God that you can do that God can do whatever he chooses to do, that God can help you in any way he wants to help you, that God will hear your prayers, and that God will answer your prayers. And don't doubt the power of God, according to Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, up there. We talked about the purpose of prayer. We talked about a couple of promises that come with prayer, which is that God's going to hear you. Now let's consider the power of prayer. God's power is naturally limitless, and we reach out to the all-powerful God when we pray. Jesus reminded his disciples in Matthew 19, verse 26, that all things about this world are in God's hands. With him, all things are possible. God knows the best way, and we should pray that in all things, his will be done. And pray that he includes us in his will. Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21, it glorifies God for who he is. Think of these words Paul prayed for the Ephesians. Notice how powerful they are. God does these things exceedingly and abundantly above that what we ask and think. When we struggle in life, we must go to him in prayer. Knowing full well God is able to do amazing things and will answer our prayer in an even more powerful way than we can think. He eagerly waits to hear from you and me. Prayer strengthens your faith, allows you to accomplish great things, and provides an avenue to shed our sins when we ask for his forgiveness. We miss out on so much because we fail to pray. So, look for chances to pray. When you wake up in the morning, maybe even before you get out of bed, start your day with prayer. Think about your day. What you need and what you will face during the day. Think about the folks that are around you, what they face and what they need. Pray with every meal. Your meal is a blessing. It's sitting there on the table in front of you. Then before sleep, humbly seek the Lord's favor. Know the peace of God that you get. We read about it in Philippians chapter 4. Put your cares at God's feet. Trust him to care for you and ask him to bless you and your family through the night. And then go to sleep in peace, with confidence in God's power to keep you. I was talking about the peace earlier. You can have it all day, and there you go. You get it right at the end of the day. Seek God through the day. I know there's times when you feel like you've received a blessing during your day. Hey, stop and take that opportunity to thank the Lord for the blessing that you. It doesn't even have to be a big one. But all day long, you have that opportunity. Sometimes we face troubles as the day wears on. In that circumstance, find a time to stop. You know, find a spot where you can be alone and lay these burdens on God. He can easily work out your day. I kind of wish there'd been someone to tell me these things earlier in life. Well, maybe what I should say is, I wish I had listened to these words earlier in life. I need all you guys, and that is grandfathers, fathers, and other annoying uncles to hear this. okay? You, just like me, are responsible for the majority of this work. Trying to start an effective prayer life in your family is not always going to be easy. And I'll bet the majority of you have not seen an effective prayer life modeled for you to make it easy. Sometimes we simply have to grit our teeth and decide, I'm going to live up to this responsibility God has laid on me. This is similar to so many things in life. You try, you fail. You try again, maybe with the help of your wife encouraging you to try again. It works for a while, then it fails. You try again. Maybe your conscience has been bothering you a little bit, or you've seen another brother pick this up more easily than you. If he can do it, so can I. Okay? It's a nice long run, but life gets in the way, and you find yourself in the weeds once again. Eventually, you find it gets easier and easier with each attempt, and you look back and you think to yourself, I've been at this for several weeks now. Wow. You have more peace in your life. You reckon your faith has grown also. Celebrate that. That is a blessing. If you want to pledge to start now, come up here. We will pray with you for more strength, courage, faith, whatever. Maybe you believe it's time to turn your life over to Christ and want to be baptized for the remission of your sins right now. Come up here with the invitation song. Maybe you're not sure you can come up here in front of all these people. It's okay. There's Dennis and Rick and Paul, and I volunteer as well. I volunteered these guys for them, but I volunteer as well. Make it known. You know, you slip us a note. We'll make it happen. Okay? If any of these things apply to you, let's get started as we stand and sing.